Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out alabamathebeautifulmagazine.com.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. Boutique Air Service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
With over 25 years in the business, James Paul Tree Service offers their knowledge and experience, along with honesty and dependability, which gives you peace of mind when it comes to tree removal, tree cleanup, and clearing. Give James Paul a call at 256-777-0711.
Before they fall, give James Paul a call.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Something good
today. Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I am glad that you can be with us today as we talk about a very important subject, and this subject is something that affects young and old alike. We're talking about body dysmorphic disorder and eating disorders and the importance of caring about ourselves, taking care of ourselves, and valuing ourselves as we are. I have on the line with me right now Avery Williams, and she has battled an eating disorder, and I wanted her to be able to share her story because Avery has gone through this, she is battling this, and not only has she helped herself, but she wants to help others through Balanced by Avery. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Avery Williams.
Hey.
Glad to have you, Avery.
I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm glad that you have decided to take the time to share about your story and your mission through Balanced by Avery. And I know that there's someone out there right now who is going to be touched by this and by your mission, and it is going to help someone who is listening.
I really hope so.
The first thing, Avery, how old are you?
I'm 16.
And you are a sophomore in high school?
Yes.
What is school life like for you, Avery?
Well, I cheer on East Varsity, pretty well known around the school. A lot of people look up to us. We have to kind of keep our personalities in check. We have to be very open and happy all the time. So a lot of people know me just because I'm really extroverted person. So I talk to a lot of people. I'm friends with a lot of people. So I know a lot of people. I've been in the school system my entire life. So I know pretty much everybody. My mom knows everybody. Everybody's like my friend there.
So people expect happy Avery.
Yes.
And when you're not happy, is it pretty obvious that Avery's not happy?
I mean, sometimes. Like, when everything first started, I was very, like, hidden about it. Like, I kept it a secret for a really long time. Like, nobody knew. Nobody even knew that I was, like, struggling at all just because I was able to fake it so well. But it wasn't until, like, a few months ago, like, at the very beginning of this year, when everybody could, like, tell and, like, kind of picked up on it, that people started to notice and worry. And, yeah, they would ask me if I was okay because I would be whatever. But, yeah.
So that's something that's really important, Avery, is that you actually had people who noticed that there was some type of issue and asked you if you were okay. It wasn't somebody poking at you or making fun of you, but actually trying to help.
Yes, in a way. And then there would be like people that would be like, she looks like this and there's something wrong with her, obviously. And then that was really hard for me because it kind of like fueled my brain. Like, it made me feel like I had to look a certain way to feel invalidated with what was going on, in order to actually ask for help. And then, like, whenever people started kind of like complimenting, like, my weight loss and my, like, my healthy eating and all this stuff, that's whenever it kind of really spiraled, because I thought I was doing something right. And then I was getting all these compliments. And then that's when it, like, kind of went down the just like black hole that I got stuck in.
What did you feel like, Avery, prior to developing an eating disorder? How did you feel about yourself? When you saw yourself in the mirror, how did you look at yourself?
I had always been kind of self-conscious just because I was a cheerleader and I did all-star cheer, and we had to wear like, we wore like our special uniform and like our practice wear, which was obviously very showy, you know. So they wanted us to be always be in shape, and they wanted us to always be smiling and always be happy, always have our makeup done, hair done. And then, like, there'd be girls around me. Like, I was 8 at this time, and I had no idea what any of it was. But, like, there'd be girls like, oh, she's kind of on the bigger side. Like, she'd say that, and I'd be like, oh, well, I can't be like that. So I was always kind of, like, self-conscious. And, like, then in middle school, it started getting really bad, especially with the boys, because they always were picking on the girls for looking a certain way or making jokes. So I was thinking, oh, well, I can't be like that. I don't need to look like that. And then COVID hit, and that's when everything kind of started.
So you felt like, Avery, you were competing with other young ladies in your appearance?
Yes.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I think about wanting to be the fastest guy on a football team or the strongest guy, lift the most weights, I'll never be that. You know, there's some things, and we look at ourselves and we're not satisfied. We're dissatisfied. And I mentioned to you before we started that I've had my own personal issues when it came to body dysmorphic disorder. And that was a major problem for me when I was in school, because not only did Mark notice, but other kids noticed that there was an issue when it came to my chest. And there was nothing that I could do about it. And I used to take sweatshirts. I would cut out the sleeves, I would cut out the neck, and I would wear 2 sweatshirts, and I would wear a button-up shirt over it just to try to conceal what I felt like was a major flaw on my body. It was really one of those things that caused some major depression. I was dissatisfied with myself. I did not like myself. I did not want to live, and it was all because of my perception of how I looked to others, and I couldn't compete with the other guys who I saw as having the right type of body.
Right. That's exactly how I was. I remember I was in, I was at a cheer practice one time, and me and my friend, we've been like, one of my friends, we'd always been very like, we always been very close, always hung out. And I used to compare myself to her all the time because everybody liked her. Everybody wanted to be her. So I would kind of take that as like, oh, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not who everybody wants me to be. I'm not good. I just didn't think I was good enough. So I would like literally, I would pray at night to, like I would pray for myself to be like everybody else. And that was like really hard. Especially when I had to tell my mom about that. And, then I would set all these, like, circumstances and, like, goals I had to meet for each week. And then that's whenever I got to it, I would get really addicted to this like high that I got from restriction. I was restricting my food, my rest, I lost friends. I was in isolation for so long. Like I couldn't even like think straight. Cause all I could think about was what I looked like, what I ate, how much exercise I had done that day, what I'd eaten, how I'd eaten, who made my food, how it was made. It didn't matter what it was. It was just, my mind was always about food and exercise and comparison. And it was just a lot.
As you're talking, Avery, I know that there's someone out there that is nodding their head in agreement. They're listening to what you're saying. They're listening to what I'm saying, and they have either felt it before or they are currently going through the same problem. They have a very similar issue about their own appearance. They are very self-conscious about themselves, and it's a very dark place to be. It almost makes me cry right now as I'm talking to you, Avery, because I was just a kid. I was just a kid who wanted to be friends with other people. I wanted to be accepted. And during my school time, I really didn't feel that. And I'm so glad that you as a person have that connection with other young people, that you had friends and people who cared about you. I was a pretty lonely kid, and that's not to get sympathy. That's just to say that there are those out there who are in a similar situation and they don't have anybody to turn to.
Yeah, that was part of the reason I started my whole Instagram and blog and all this stuff, because I was super alone. Like, nobody knew what I was going through. Nobody really understood. Like, I would try and like explain it to them, but they didn't really understand because they had never been through something like that. They didn't get it, just because it's like the only people that can understand what you're going through is if they are going through the same thing. And trying to explain it to somebody is possibly the hardest thing to explain, because it's not even about what you look like or what you're eating. It's about, like, it's a mental game. It's not a physical game. And that's another thing that I struggled with, is feeling like I had to meet the expectation as a girl with an eating disorder in order to get help. So I spent months just trying to shrink myself to get as small as I could, try to make it look like that I played the part in order for someone to, whenever someone finally noticed and finally came to me and finally said, "Hey, I can tell that you're struggling, you need help." And it felt like a relief, like something had been released off my shoulders finally. Like, I had gotten that validation I needed. So I got my help, and I got to the doctor, and all I could think about when I was there was, is that they were just going to send me back home and tell me I was being dramatic. Like, I kept having this thought in my head, I'm not sick enough yet. I'm not worthy enough of help. I don't deserve help. There's more people out there worse than me. I need to get worse before I can get better. Like, I was just telling myself all these horrible, horrible, horrible things that I needed to do to myself in order to have someone finally get on to me and finally like allow me to recover. Like, I needed the validation, which was it's not true at all.
So you actually understand the statement, Avery, you could be surrounded by people and all alone.
Yes. I was so alone. I was so isolated. Every time I went to a friend's house, I would just sit there in silence. Like, all I could think about was, like, every day felt like it was on repeat. Like, getting through the day felt like a chore. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to go anywhere. And whenever I did go somewhere, I would just kind of hide in the corner and, like, listen. But, again, my head was so full of thoughts that I couldn't even focus. Like, I wasn't attentive. People would come, like, snap in my face and be like, "Hey," I would, like, have to snap back and check, just because I was so, like, zoned out on myself and not having, like, living a normal teenage life, that it sent me into this, like, I was like in a trance almost, is what it felt like an out of body type thing. Like, I wasn't myself. I couldn't like register anything, just because I was so hyper fixated on my thoughts.
I get it. I absolutely get it. That is exactly how I felt. And I'll just tell you, Avery, that even at 42 years old, it's still a battle when it comes to how people perceive me. And that's in my mind. It's like you said, it's not physical, it's mental. And Mark has to break down the mental barrier to understand that there are people out there who care. There are people who are supportive. And even for you, Avery, who's a high-functioning person, and you're involved in these activities, and you are a popular person. Well, and here's loser Mark, you know, back in school. And I was not a popular person. But both of us, from wherever we come from, whichever direction, both of us had the same difficulties. And people would look at you, well, Avery, you're not supposed to be this way. You're happy Avery. You're happy-go-lucky. You're always bubbly, or you have this particular personality that's just this light in a room, and you're supposed to be that way all the time, Avery.
Exactly. People would tell me that too. They'd be like, you're fine. Like, it's just a phase. Like, you'll get out of it. But no, it was not. It was not a phase.
Who was your hero? Who was the person that came to you that finally clicked and said, you need help?
There were multiple, but I can just remember we were sitting at the dinner table one night, and this was one of the very first times that I finally had like a realization. We were sitting at the dinner table. My mom had cooked, first of all, big thing for one of my rules. Like, nobody could cook for me. I had to be in control. I had to do it. It was me. And my mom had cooked something. I can't remember what it was. It was probably like, I think it was like a pasta type thing. Again, and that was also one of my really, really big, like, no-go, taboo, can't go near that, no, in my brain. And I remember her, she sat in front of me, she sat at the table, we all sat down, and all I did was, I didn't even touch it, I played with it, I pretended, and I just, like, sat there, like, just staring at the wall, and then she started speaking to me, and she was like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I don't know. And then she's like, well, I've noticed that you look a lot different. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, Avery, I can tell that you are sick. You look sick. And she's like, your eyes are just, you don't sparkle anymore. I know that you don't feel well. I know that you are, I don't know. It was just really, it was scary. Like, she's like, I don't want to sit here and watch you wither away when you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be yourself. You're not supposed to be this. And then I told her everything, and we sat at the dinner table crying, and like, I just remember her like giving me like a plate of food and begging me to just eat it, and I just wouldn't. And that's when I finally was like, I can't live like this anymore. I can't be like this. And this continued for probably like 6 months before I really like committed to getting better.
Wow. What a moment. In the Williams house, and you're talking about your mom, Lacey, and I've known her for many years now. I even spoke to one of her classes over at the tech school and tried to encourage some of those young people and share with them and be as real and raw as possible and make a bigger difference by being that way than maybe on the other subjects that we think people need to hear.
Yeah, for sure. When I started my blog, I was so, like, I was scared. Like, I didn't want people to think that I was insane. I didn't want people to, like, I don't know. I didn't want people to, like, really know. But then I posted my first thing, and I was getting all this, like, endless love and support, and just hearing people say that they're proud of me and that they're rooting for me and that they are watching me grow and all this stuff. It was just, like, motivating me. It gave me all of this, like, courage and light and like motivation back into my life. And then I was getting texts from people in like Australia and the UK and Canada and all these insane places that I didn't even think that I could like reach, just sending me messages how like I've inspired them, I've helped them. And I'm like, how have I helped you when you're this many miles away? Like, it was just blowing my mind. And I mean, I don't even see them as followers. I see them as my friends. And like,
yes.
I've met so many people through this account. Like, they're all, we have like our little, like, we have like, we Snapchat each other every day, and we're like, we'll check on each other. They check on me, I check on them. We comment on all of each other's posts. It's like this whole community that I'm a part of now. And it just, it lights me up every single day. It motivates me to keep going whenever I think that I just want to go back to how I was a month ago. But in reality, like, I look at this account, I look at what I've built for myself and how far that I've come just in the last month. I just keep going. Like, I don't turn back.
Wow. What a support group. People all over the world that are impacted by you, and you are impacted by them, and you basically lock arms and say, we're going to do this together.
Yes. It's amazing.
Right now, we're talking to Avery Williams. She is 16 years old. She's a sophomore at East Limestone High School. And the subject we're talking about, two different things here. Body dysmorphic disorder, where we perceive ourselves differently, some part of our body that we don't feel is adequate. We are self-conscious about it. And then an eating disorder that can be a product of that, a byproduct of body dysmorphic disorder. Avery, at 16 years old, has gone through this journey. She's still on it. But she has decided that not only did she want to help herself, but she wanted to help other people. And when we come back, I want to share more about Balanced by Avery and what Avery's mission is to make a difference in the lives of other people wherever they are. It doesn't matter if they're in Alabama, if they're somewhere across the country, if they're around the world. It sounds like Avery now is on a mission to help each and every person who is battling these issues. Avery, will you stick with me?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Folks, I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I am your host, Mark White. I'll do something good today. A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today. North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
With over 25 years in the business, James Paul Tree Service offers their knowledge and experience, along with honesty and dependability, which gives you peace of mind when it comes to tree removal, tree cleanup, and clearing. Give James Paul a call at 256-777-0711.
Before they fall, give James Paul a call.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
A little white house in the heart of town.
Hi, everybody. This is Doug Stone. And let me tell you something. Love grows best in little houses, especially when you got the Mark White Show on.
Love grows best in houses just like. Drives into the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away, 'cause there's a blue-eyed kid on second base, wants dad to watch him play, daddy knows he's waiting.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. I am glad that you can be here for this very important subject. And there may be somebody right now who needs to hear this. And I want to clearly say right off the bat that if you know of someone who needs to hear this show, who needs this message, I want you to be a friend to them and share this show with others. We're talking about body dysmorphic disorder. We're talking about eating disorders. And we're talking to a 16-year-old sophomore, Avery Williams, about what she's gone through with an eating disorder and what she is now doing for herself to help herself and to try to help others. It's an amazing story where she sat with her mom and her mom said, "Something's the matter. We've got to do something about this." And Avery, that wasn't the moment. It took her a little while longer, but Avery did eventually say, "I need help." And that's what we all need to do at some point in our life when we're struggling, when we have something that's going on that should not be going on in our life, is to ask for help. Maybe you do feel alone right now. I don't want you to feel that way. I don't want you to feel alone. And you are not alone. And Avery alluded to that in the last segment when she talked about the people that she's been able to affect through Balanced by Avery across the country and the world. She talked about the countries of people that contact her and say, "This is helping." And Avery Williams is on a mission. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Avery.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
You know, there's a statement, finding purpose in our pain. It sounds to me like at such a young age, 16 years old, and I wish I could have done this at 16, technology wasn't the same, so there wasn't the same connection that we could have through social media, which social media can be good and it can be bad. That's true, but there are good things that can come from this, and you found a way to connect through Balanced by Avery.
Yes, I think finding my purpose through my pain is a great way to describe it, because I was so hurt, I was so tired, I was so isolated, I was depressed, I was every word that you can use to describe sad and painful. But then something in my head just like, it switched. It was almost like a light switch had just gone off. Like, okay, you need to do this. It's like I was being called. Now I'm here. I feel amazing. I'm doing much better. I have so many new friends. I have so many people who continue to inspire me and tell me that I continue to inspire them. It's like a new type of joy that I have found, and a new, like a motivator. Like, it really is. It's what keeps me going.
So Avery, you've been at school before COVID where somebody would come and they were a motivational speaker, right?
Yes. I think we had one before.
And what did you think about a person who did that, who got in front of an entire school and they were considered a motivational speaker? How did that come across to you in school?
I've always thought, like, I remember we had one guy come and he just, like, he had everybody silent. Like, everybody was just eyes on him. And I was thinking, I don't think I could ever do, like, I can't speak in front of people. I don't know how he's doing this. Like, he's inspiring me right now, but I can't. And then I'm doing it now, and it's like, it's crazy.
You're doing a radio interview now. So
I know.
That's a big step for you, Avery. It's huge. And I told you from the very beginning, I am so proud of you, because you're so young, but yet you have gained a level of maturity through this process, through this journey that you've gone through with an eating disorder, and you're coming out on the other end on fire.
Yeah. I finally got that light that I needed, and now I just keep burning, keep going.
As you know, February 21st through the 27th was National Eating Disorder Week through NIDA, and I think you even shared about that through one of your social media pages.
Yes, I did. I posted on my actual, like my real, like my Instagram page that everybody follows, not the blog, and I put in my whole story. I put in why I started, what I started, what I'm using the account for, to the blog. And then I had everybody just sending me all this stuff again. And I was like, these are people that I'm friends with. Like, they used to not understand, but now they're understanding. They used to just kind of like brush it off, but now it's like everybody kind of, like, they're figuring it out. They're figuring out how to be with me, how to helped me, which has been very, it's been amazing.
I want to add something here, Avery, to everyone listening. When you see someone struggling, instead of being critical, instead of finding the negative about the person, looking at their weaknesses, pointing them out, instead of pointing, we need to be reaching to pull each other up, not wasting time pointing our finger, but actually trying to figure out how can I help this person because they're my neighbor and I love them and I care about them. Unfortunately, that's not the response of everyone. And until it is, we've got a long way to go, whether that means bullying and mistreating someone because of the way they look or talking bad about someone, being critical of a person. And when you're doing what you're doing, Avery, you are showing that love and that compassion, and you're saying, come on board with me. I have a place for you. I know that you are struggling. I struggled too. And let's talk about our struggle together and let's overcome it together.
Yes. There's like a big, I guess, stigma and like glamorization about this illness. And there's so many stereotypes and requirements and things that the internet has just put out there. So whenever I was whenever I first kind of started developing my eating disorder, I thought that I had to meet all of these requirements in order to receive the help that I needed. And I would kind of drop hints that I was struggling, but no one really ever picked it up. But they kind of took it as like a joke, because that's another big thing. Mental health is not a joke. It is not something to be proud of. It is not anything. It's not anything to do with humor. And that's what people thought I was doing, was because I would kind of laugh it off, just as like, oh, yeah. But on the inside, I was breaking. Like, I was so weak and tired, and nobody saw that because I could hide it so well. So whenever I finally had somebody come to me and be like, I can tell you're struggling, I'm getting you help. Like, I was forced into it. I didn't have a choice. They were like, this is what you're doing. This is what we're doing. And it's happening now. And then whenever I finally got that that sentence in my head, I finally was like, okay, I can finally start to relieve myself. And then as I started going to these appointments and therapy appointments, doctor appointments, dietitian appointments, I had weekly weigh-ins for like 4 months straight to make sure I was getting to where I needed to be. And every week she would tell me, she's like, you're getting worse, you're getting worse. But that was fueling the addiction that I had to the validation. And then I remember I looked at myself in the mirror one day and I saw what I needed to see. And that's just what it completely snapped my fingers. And I was like, I can't live like this anymore. I don't deserve this. I don't have to live like this forever. My life does not need to consume of these thoughts and this illness that I didn't ask for, I just received. And that's when everything finally fell into place.
So I'm going to tell you, Avery, for about 6 weeks, I went without being depressed. And I was so happy that I was existing without depression. And some medication helped do that. But this past week, I had 2 bouts of depression. I was like, okay, Mark, I guess you're back to square one again. You had 6 good weeks. I guess that's it. You yourself, Avery, even though you are inspired now to help other people, you're going to have those moments, you know, and you're going to question and doubt yourself for where you've come. You'll look back sometimes. What is the lesson that you've learned from the help that you've received, how to be able to take that negative thought and put it aside to move forward?
One of the biggest things that I use is, it's just a simple statement. It's, if not now, then when? It's one of my biggest, like, it's kind of what got me in the place that I'm in now. I don't want to be 21 years old and not and at my birthday party and not enjoying my time because I'm worried about what we're going to eat or how many calories are in a drink, or I don't want to be 26 on my wedding day and not eat the wedding cake because I'm too scared of who made it and how it was made or what's in it. And I don't want to be 30 with kids and not baking cookies with them because I never recovered from my eating disorder. And I don't want to be 92 on my deathbed looking at a life consumed by this whenever I could have had so much more fun, and just like looking at my future and having that almost taken away from me. Like, I almost wasn't allowed to drive. They're talking about college. I wasn't able to cheer for a year, and I want to cheer in college and I want to keep going, but they took that away from me because I was so sick and weak. So I realized that I don't need this, and this is not what I want for my life to be. And that's when I started. That's kind of what keeps me going. And then another thing is that Bible verse, in Christ alone, my hope is found. And there was a night where I was laying in bed. I was severely restricting. I was probably in one of my lowest of lows. And I fell asleep, and I had a dream that I had been put in residential. And they had been, that was on the table for a really long time. Like, they were like, if you don't get to this point, you're going to res. You're going away. You need extra, extra help. You need to go to the higher level. You need to keep going. And I had a dream that I was in res, and they had locked me out. I couldn't do anything. Like, I was literally in a room, and then I saw, like, this light in the room. And the light opened this door, and I ran out the door, and I broke out of the crazy asylum that I'd been put in. And I woke up the next morning, and I was kind of like, oh, okay. Well, if I can find this hope in a dream with this light, I can find it in reality. And that's what I used to.
So you mentioned a Bible verse, Avery, that was important to you, and we haven't talked about it, but what part did faith play in where you are now?
It definitely played a big part, just because, you know, I've grown up in the church, and, you know, I've always been to church, and I've always sat in, like, the same pew, you know. I've been going my whole life, but it didn't really, I never really clicked with it until this kind of started. It was almost like God was calling me to get better. Like, I remember I would pray in church to look a certain way or be a certain way, or that I wouldn't have to, like, I would pray that I wouldn't wake up the next day because I was just so tired and I just didn't want to be there. But then I remember one day I prayed for hope. And then as time went on, I got that hope. And then I prayed for wellness, and I got the wellness that I needed. Then I prayed for a proper look at life. And then I finally got that proper look at life. And then I got a calling to do this blog. And that's when everything just set into place. And I got the vision that I needed. I got the realization that I wanted after so long of being so sick and so tired and so exhausted, so depressed and so lonely. I finally found the light that I needed to keep going with God.
I so badly want other people to have this weight lifted off of their shoulders. I want people who are struggling in this way to reach out to you, to reach out to me, to know that there are people who care, because I do want them to have successes as well. And I know that's your goal. You want to see other people have success. We don't want anybody to fail. Every single person who wants to get through this, I believe that they can, but it takes something more than just Mark White or just Avery Williams.
Exactly. At the end of the day, they always tell me every time I go to the doctor, they can't fix it for me. I have to fix myself. I have to be the one that does what I'm supposed to do. I have to listen to my meal plan. I have to write those positive affirmations to myself. I have to hold myself accountable. I have to journal my thoughts. I have to text my therapist. I have to go to my appointments. I have to actively be in this recovery, because they can assist me in it, but ultimately it's up to me. And I can choose to go back anytime I wanted. Like, whenever I relapsed for the very first time, I was in, like, a low place for, like, a couple weeks. And then I got out of this relapse because I got another click. And then every time I would relapse, I would get a click, and I kept getting these clicks until it finally clicked for good. And then that's what really struck me. Like, I was like, okay, well, they can help me. They can give me the help that I need, but it's up to me. It's up to you guys to just live how you want to live. You don't have to live a life consumed by depression or anxiety or an eating disorder or body dysmorphia or, the list goes on. Like, you do not have to live like that, because yes, it is a part of your brain, but what I've had to do is learn how to separate the bad thoughts from the good thoughts, separate the black and white thinking to actual real thinking, and the thoughts eventually just kind of calm down, and like, they start to scream, but that's because they're dying.
I had a friend last week who messaged me, Avery. I was really down. I mentioned the two bouts I had last week with depression. And this friend said, "Say out loud, I'm healthy and strong." And then she followed up with, "Out loud." She said, "Say, I'm good at helping people feel seen." And she said, "Out loud right now, get up and say it. You've got this." And I told her, "I can't seem to do it." And it made me cry even harder. And she said, "Feelings are okay and better out than in." And I told her, "Thank you, I'll get through it." And she said, "Say it enough times and you'll believe it, I promise." And she told me that she loved me. And I had support from Kansas. And it meant a lot. And you mentioned about positive affirmations. What are some of those positive affirmations that you write? What is it that helps you?
I like to tell myself that I'm worthy, I'm enough, I'm strong, I can get through this, I can do this, I'm wise, I am so many more things than my illness, I'm Avery, I'm not ED. Just telling, these little reminders for myself, and like, that, like, just little sentences, like hearing people say, "Oh, I'm proud of you, you are strong, you are beautiful, you don't deserve this, you deserve to be happy," is what I try to remind myself, to be like, okay, I don't have to live like that, I can live how I want to live.
You know, Avery, I want people to go and check out nationaleatingdisorders.org if they have an eating disorder. And I also want them to connect with you. Because of your age at 16, there are other young people in your age range who need this type of support, and maybe they didn't feel like there was anyone who understood. And now that they're hearing this conversation between me and you, there may be some young person right now at East Limestone High School in Limestone County, Alabama, who is hearing this message, and they know you, and they've needed to hear some of these words to encourage them and to inspire them to make a change in their life.
Yes. I actually had a friend, and I mean, I had no idea. Nobody else had any idea, but she was struggling with something very similar to me. She goes to my school, and just hearing her come to me and be like, "I understand what you're going through. I'm here for you." And then she told me everything, and I was like, "I'm here for you too." And now we continue to just lift each other up. We check on each other. And just having that balance between us of like sharing our struggles and then pulling each other back out of them is what I think has helped both of us a lot. And asking for help, it's not weak. It's not a sign of weakness. It's stability. Like, you're not stable, so you need to get stable. And that's what I just kind of keep telling myself. I'm not myself right now. I need to become the better version of myself that I need.
Well, Avery, you are a strong person. I am proud of you. You are a beautiful person inside and out. And your inside is more important than your outside. And you have taken your inside, your heart, and you have decided to help other people, and that alone makes you a beautiful person, Avery. And I want you to be able to share how you want people to connect with you to get on the path, the right path, to help themselves, to feel better about themselves, and to live a full and complete life.
Yes, I have a blog. I'm on Instagram and TikTok, both at Balanced by Avery. My DMs are always open. I post pretty frequently. I post my story, what I'm up to. I post recipes. I post my life updates. I'm so vulnerable on there. It's kind of crazy. Like, they're all like my best friends, it feels like. But I'm always open to speak. I'm on TikTok, Balanced by Avery, and I'm on Instagram, Balanced by Avery. So, yeah.
I imagine that you are going to have more places to speak and to encourage others. And if there's someone listening that is involved with the school system, wherever, they may want you to come and speak to their students. So that might be something that gets on the radar, and you may very well be sharing Balanced by Avery with other students in that way. And I hope that happens if that's what's meant to be. But right now, here you are with your blog, and you're able to share through that. And I know that they can go to, as you mentioned, Instagram and TikTok. And you also mentioned that some people don't actually see the blog. How do they get to the blog specifically?
Well, I do repost them on my Instagram, but I think if you type in the web, Instagram.com/balancedbyavery, it'll come up. I'm not really for sure on that. But when I first started, I had nobody on there. Nobody really knew about it, but I reposted on my actual Instagram. My mom reposted on hers. I started getting these people that were following me, and then I started following outside sources, and then their followers followed me, and my new friends started DMing me, and I had all these people just reposting what I was saying, and like people would tell me, oh, you're amazing. Like, you know how to write. You're so great. And then I started getting more audience, and then one of my TikToks blew up, so people were following me from there. But yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, Avery is on a mission, and we appreciate the fact that you were willing to share today, Avery. It's very important. I think that we're able to share, and I actually shared more than I normally do here on the show today because of you. You've encouraged me, even as an older person, to try to be more open and to talk about some of the difficulties I had as a younger person, which were quite embarrassing to me, but it helps me get over that a little bit. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Everybody needs to know that it's okay to not be okay. And it's not a sign of weakness to not be okay. It's to find your strength. You have to go through the highs and the lows. But ultimately, the lows are what is going to bring you to those highs. And those highs are going to be just amazing. And they're never, like, once you get up, you don't come down. You may struggle. You may hit a bump in the road, but you won't hit rock bottom. When I hit rock bottom, I knew that it was only up from there. And when I hit my up, I've stayed at my up. And it's so freeing. And it's letting me live the life I want to live. And I encourage everybody to do the same.
Folks, do you know what a difference maker sounds like? It sounds like Avery Williams. You are a difference maker. You're a world changer, Avery.
Thank you.
Here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers like Avery Williams, and I hope you're encouraged and inspired by her story. Again, I want you to share it with others and let them know about this show. Let them know about the Mark White Show and this episode. I want you to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and then go over and subscribe to the Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You have been listening to another edition of the Mark White Show, and this is Mark White, encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.
Boutique air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. And one smile can make a difference. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Someone loves you, I do.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama. Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Oh, won't you hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good.